Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Welcome back to another PC Gaming Podcast, DL Gaming. We're here with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and Robert Digital.
What's up?
Yo.
All right. So we're going to start things off with a little game here. I thought what we could do is rank some games that we played. Games that all three of us have played. We're going to give it a ranking 0 to 100 and see if we come close, if we have different opinions on these games.
Okay.
We'll see. So
this isn't Metacritic. This is our own internal how we feel about the game.
Yeah,
1 to 100.
You give it your own rating.
All right, what's the first one?
Well, I'm 100 on all three, right? So by default.
Yeah. Well, you're actually
everything's fantastic.
You're 102 on a couple of them. All right, what do we got first?
All right, first one's going to be Darkest Dungeon.
Ooh, Darkest Dungeon.
That's a tricky one because it's changed so much. I recently played it. You know how much trouble I had originally. I'd never beat the first boss or...
Well, because you were terrible at the game.
Right. And now I've run through all first three bosses without dying once. So, but then again, you know, it's so RNG. You don't know if it's the changes or whatever. The new character... There's one I haven't even seen yet. And I played quite a bit. And I still haven't seen the Arbalest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen the Arbalest.
Which is that one?
That's the ranged one. Yeah, it's like a bow cannon, or a crossbow. Right?
Yeah, definitely haven't seen him. And so, but have you seen the Houndmaster?
No, I haven't.
No, that's
he's
the one
so
I
good,
seen.
Dude. He reduces other people's stress by letting them cuddle with his dog. How fucking sick is that? Like, and then like he can do a group resist or stress reduce by just howling. Like, he howls and then everybody calms down a little bit. It's all really cool. But anyway, so at its current state right now. Which is even better than it originally was.
Spit it out.
I would say like...
Spit it out.
90.
Okay.
90?
Yeah.
I was going to go 85.
I was going to go around 92. 88 or 90. Like something right in there. But yeah, I really like that one. I think it's a great game. And I played it... it came out in early access in January. I played it very little then. And then I really got into it around April or May. I think around the second big patch, but I haven't played it recently. And I do feel like it did get a little easier.
Yeah. Especially
between the first and second time I played it.
Trinkets was the biggest thing that made. Because the trinkets were all crap.
Yeah.
And now they're arguable. They're kind of like TF2 weapons where I might want that. Yeah. You know?
I think it's funny because they had a stress mechanic built into the game, but the whole game is a stress mechanic. Like when you're playing the game, like that's the reason I don't rate it higher. It's just because. You can't play it for a long period of time. You can't go in and like, it's like playing a horror game almost where, you know, you're going to be put through the emotional ringer playing this game.
For sure.
Yeah.
So it's awesome in that fact, but it makes it difficult to play long stretches of it.
It's also hard to knock it for what it's intending to do.
True.
Right?
True.
Yeah.
And I think 85 is a great score. Like, I'm of the opinion that average should be 70.
Sure.
80s should be good. 85 is really good. 90s, you're pushing.
Was
it.
Darkest Dungeon this year? Do we consider it this year?
Yeah, it hasn't had an official release yet, but January is when the early access came out on Steam.
Lab was talking to me about what my favorite. This is LabMonkey 101.
Our listeners.
What my running for my game of the year. And it's probably Darkest Dungeon or Witcher 3 right now.
I think Witcher 3 is going to be a lot of people's. I haven't played nearly enough games to have an accurate opinion on that, but there's a handful of games that I really enjoyed this year.
Yeah, I don't like this new Bobby, this new one-game Bobby.
Yeah, not playing games, Bobby. How did that happen? I don't know.
Who knows?
And you'd think it was like a girlfriend that broke him down. Nope. Yeah. His girlfriend was
maybe I overdid it last year. Maybe, I don't know, because I played a lot of games last year.
Yeah, you did.
Who's that guy over there? Looks totally bored. That's one game Bobby, dude.
All right, second game. Second game is Tomb Raider, the reboot that came out 2013.
I think we're going to have some discrepancies here. Any longtime listeners know Bobby does not like that game.
I will give it like a 78.
Wow.
All right.
I'm going to give that an 87.
So you think that's a better game than Darkest Dungeon?
Correct. All right. That would be how I scored it. Yes.
I would give this like a 70 or 75, somewhere around there.
I bet you guys could go back and play it right now and be like, oh, wow, I forgot how good this game was. That game was really good.
I really like the visuals. I like the overall feeling of the game. There was a little bit of mystery in the beginning because you actually throughout because you don't know if it's going to be supernatural or not for a long time.
Because it's Tomb Raider, so you're expecting supernatural, and then it keeps going, and you're still not sure if it's supernatural or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how she like progresses, and she's the wounded hero.
Yeah.
The skill trees and all.
No comment on that. Yeah,
but Bob's sitting over there quietly skeptical. I could just see the skepticism.
The hair physics. Remember that? That was really good.
That was a big deal. I'd say 70, 75, somewhere in there. Yeah,
you're gonna have to give a score, 70 or 75.
What are you giving it? 71.
71. Okay.
71. That's what.
And what'd you say? You said 78.
79.
Okay.
Yeah, 78, 79.
All right. What's the third game? I'm winning, by the way, in our game.
Oh, okay.
Third game is going to be Call of Juarez Gunslinger.
Ooh, another good one.
Yeah, this came out in 2013 by Techland. Cowboy arcade shooter.
Very good game.
Yeah, I really like this one. I would give this one a 92.
Wow.
Wow.
Jeez.
Pulled out the big guns over here.
I'm going to give that an 83. 83. Still a good game, but not as good as the other two.
Oh, probably. See, I can't put it above Tomb Raider. So.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to probably go with like a 76 or so.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, you guys are way off. I don't know. That game, it really struck a chord with me. That's just my idea of a good fun time.
Yeah. No, it's an excellent game, but it's one of those games that's a one-trick pony. Like, you're playing the game, and your game is what it is, and it's very fun and very enjoyable. But I got, like, okay, when is this game going to wrap up feeling? And I can't make that game a really good game if I get that feeling from it, you know?
Well, I don't think you guys did any of the time trials or anything like that. The campaign mode is only, like, what, 5 hours?
Yeah. Right? But even in that 5 hours, I was like, okay, I've had my fun. Let's wrap this up.
And coming off of Nazi Zombie Army... and having such a bad taste in my mouth from it, I think, and then playing something so similar right after, I think really skewed my opinion of the whole thing.
Hmm.
Had I come in that dry, maybe it would have been a different story.
Throw some baby powder on that. Go back into it.
So I switched out hard drive, so I don't even know what happened to my save. I don't think I'm going to re-download it just to finish it.
Anyway. That was Sniper Army Nazi Zombie 2 or something?
It was the original one. Original one, not the remastered one.
Because I played the second one. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't anything amazing. I actually kind of had fun with that one, too. I was playing co-op with someone.
Apparently you just like those kind of games more than we do.
Yeah, but I will say I didn't like that Sniper Army Zombie whatever as much as Call of Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I felt like that one had a little more to offer in a way of story, and also I liked the graphics a little bit better, or not necessarily the graphics, but the style they went for, and I liked the cowboy western theme. I don't think they've done that enough.
It's true.
I don't think I
have. So, you need to combine cowboys and dinosaurs, and you pretty much have figured out the perfect game for Bobby.
Wasn't there a movie like, oh no, that was Cowboys and Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah.
No cowboys and dinosaurs yet. Well,
yet.
I'm sure
Bobby
there is.
Hasn't wrote it yet.
Yeah.
That's one story, Bobby.
So, shall we get into some question the news?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So we each picked a story, a news thing that came out this week, and we're going to ask a question based on the article. So my article, Kotaku has reported, Captain Sparkles, who is the Minecraft Twitch streamer and YouTuber, has recently bought a $4.5 million home in Los Angeles. I have two questions for you guys. One, you have $4.5 million. Where do you buy your house? Because he bought this in Los Angeles, which $4.5, you're getting a nice house, but you're not getting a great house. It's a 3-bedroom, 5-bath house. So it's like But, I mean, it's in an awesome spot.
Right. Meanwhile, you could buy all of Kansas for $4.5 million.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. So, question one, where do you guys buy your house? You have $4.5 million. Where are you buying it?
No way would I ever spend that much money on a house. Even if I had that much disposable income.
This is the money you have, and you're buying a house.
It's where a magic check.
Where do you buy it?
And no tricky business.
Definitely not Los Angeles, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. Nor I.
I wouldn't move out of San Diego. I mean, this is the best
You could buy pretty much the nicest house in San Diego.
Yeah. No, I would buy...
You know what? Somebody was just looking at Coronado. It's like 5.5 or something on the water.
Yeah. But would you want to deal with going over the bridge and traffic every day? Nah.
You could get a nice one in La Jolla or Del Mar area for 4.5.
Yeah, or Solana Beach or what's that really nice area next to... La Jolla.
Doesn't matter. Nobody knows what we're doing. But I would definitely, I would not leave San Diego for sure. I would I'd probably get a penthouse downtown.
Yeah, for sure. Probably. See, that's exactly what I'd do. I'd get a huge fucking penthouse.
I was thinking Spain myself.
Spain? Oh, you're going.
Yeah. Okay. Global. Well, you guys aren't even leaving the city, and I'm trying to go across the world. Okay.
Welcome back to the DL Gaming Podcast. We're going to Skype in with Chad. And he's like, hola, muchachos. I can't see that. He's all dark.
For $4.5 million, they can learn my language. I'm not learning theirs. All right. My second question is, Captain Sparkles made this money playing Minecraft. He even has his own toys that you can buy at retail. That's how big he is. In fact, the house that he bought is less than a mile away from the house that Notch bought.
Oh.
And Notch is the creator.
Are they both made out of big bricks?
The one he bought is very brick-like.
Huh.
But my question is, you are going to be as successful as a Twitch streamer, but you are restricted to one game. You have to play this game 8 hours a day, every day you work. Which game are you selecting? You're going to be successful, so you can pick any game. But you only get one game, and this is the game you have to play.
I get it, but you know what if that game is not popular anymore?
No, that's not the question. Okay. You just have to play.
Let's say 5 years or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
For your job,
probably Smite.
You play Smite.
Yeah, probably Smite.
You don't even play it for free right now.
Because it's so time intensive.
Yeah, that's true. But you still would want to play it. It just takes up too much.
Yeah, it takes up too much time and too much emotional investment. But I feel like. I think if I played 8 hours a day every day, I could get on a really low-level team, you know, if I put in that much time.
Yeah, probably.
I obviously would play Heroes of the Storm, or maybe I'd play Tomb Raider and just, you know, explain what's wrong with it over and over again for a living.
Oh, and this fucking part.
I could do that. But no, Heroes of the Storm, definitely. And I do watch a lot of people that stream that game, and they'll be streaming when I go to bed, and then they're still streaming when I wake up and getting ready for work. Like, they will stream for, like, 15 straight hours. It's ridiculous.
That's their job.
Heroes of the Storm doesn't have the complexity of, like, a Dota or a League of Legends.
Here we go.
I'm just wondering, 8 hours a day, every day, wouldn't you want that added complexity to just make it more interesting? Like,
I can kind of dig that.
Nah. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about this more when we get to the League of Legends championships, but they're... Well, we'll talk about when we get there.
I think I would probably go with WoW just because there's so much diversity. You could always be switching it up. You could run arenas, or you can run raids, you can run five-mans, or you could level up a new guy. There's just so much that you can do in that game. I think I've never heard of another game that you could spend that many hours playing.
Yeah.
165 days played on my main character. That's 24 hours times 165. And that's just on one character. Like,
is there any games you can make money on if you put in that kind of time?
Yeah.
At this point, like what?
Like Eve,
what
do you think? Eve Online, you know, all those that have the subscriptions that you can buy and sell in game, you can do.
So maybe that would be Eve, probably even more than WoW.
Yeah.
Just because they're,
I loved Eve, but it didn't hook me like WoW did. You didn't ever feel grounded, you know, like. You were always in this just void, this huge void.
No home, no place to call your own.
Yeah, and it does very well. It's a space sim, like it's kind of
because you don't have a home to call your
exactly.
own. Yeah, except for your little pod, your little beat off pod. Excuse me, guys. I gotta get in my pod.
All right, what else we got?
CG Projekt came out and said, "Did you have something to say?"
Oh no, go for it. You do yours first.
CG. Did you not go? Sorry.
It's all right.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Again. CD Projekt is the guys who did Witcher 3. They're working on a game called Cyberpunk 2077, which I guess, you know, I got a very Johnny Mnemonic kind of vibe out of it. But anyway, they said it's going to be even bigger than Witcher 3.
Damn.
Saying it like, hey, now our next car is going to go even faster. But the way I look at it, my biggest problem with Witcher 3 was the size. That's my only problem with Witcher 3. And I hate to fucking have, you know, there's not much news out there. So our podcast coincides with a lot of other podcasts. PC Gamer brought this up as well, but our game's getting too big.
We've been saying this for years.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much content out there. It's almost like you can't expect to be the only game that people play anymore, unless you're maybe a MOBA or something like that. So cut down on content and make it better. Make it a fantastic 5 hours instead of a pretty good 15 hours.
But it was a fantastic 15 hours.
No, yeah.
So,
yeah, I know.
I mean, if they're going to put that much content and it's still amazing, then I don't really have any complaint. I mean, I would like to see the end of the game, and I would never will. Witcher 3, I'm just resigned to the fact that I will never see the end of the game.
Yeah.
Well, are they saying that it's going to be bigger than Witcher 3, like, in scope? It's just going to be a larger game? Or are they saying it's going to be bigger, like, more popular than Witcher 3? Like, we're going to blow this
out. No, they meant, like, you know.
Map size.
Map size and
yeah.
Bob, you haven't played Witcher 3 at all?
No. Haven't touched Witcher 3.
It's probably the biggest map I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a game. Huge.
It's really big. It's like...
It's not the biggest map because they've already said, what was that? What's the one before Oblivion?
Other Scrolls, or other...
Not Morrowind.
Oblivion and Morrowind.
Anyways. That's it.
Oblivion. Elder Scrolls, Oblivion. Either way.
Anyways, one of those has like a map that's like, in real world, it's like 4 miles across or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a question coming out, right? Sorry, Bob.
Our game's getting too big.
Wow, we really did rip this off of the PC Gamer podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all relative, really. I mean, if you have that much content, you don't have to play it. And if it's a game like World of Warcraft, you can spend quite a bit of time in there and eventually explore those areas, do those quests, and just soak up all that content. And the fact that it's there doesn't mean you have to play it. So why not have it there? The other side of the argument is, you know, you want to be able to complete a game in a timely manner. Mass Effect, I mean, those games were considered really long. And I spent 20 to 30 hours on each of those games. And that was considered long. But Witcher 3 is like, what, a 50-hour game? Phantom Pain is like 50 hours. I mean, it's... When that's your main storyline takes that long, then that's kind of an issue. It's okay if you have these optional side quests that add content to it, but when you make the main force of the game like that long, the thing that they said on the PC Gamer podcast that I really liked was a guy said, you know, when you have a constraint on movies are 2-3 hours tops. You know, when you have that constraint, then you start to get better quality, and you know the audience knows what they're in for. You don't have like a 15-hour movie.
A lot of editing.
Yeah, you're forced to edit stuff down and get rid of the excess fat. And I think games are not restricted by any of that, and we end up getting a lot of bloat.
I think this is a direct correlation to the age that you are, because I think...
No, I dig it. I know what you're saying.
I think...
As we're older, we have less time.
Exactly. Yeah. We're time restricted, so we don't want to play games that have huge amounts of time.
These are games for adults, though.
I know, but a middle school or a high school can play Witcher 3.
Right.
You know, they'll have all summer to play a game. When I had all summer to play a game, I wanted a 50-hour game, you know? Like, I wanted a game that I could play. I just think our perspective is different now.
Yeah, there is that. That's definitely a factor. But I also think that 2,800 games came out on Steam this year so far.
Mm-hmm.
2,800 games. And so they have to be realistic in that there's not going to be games. I mean, Witcher 3 kind of sticks out as a outlier because it is. And so is Metal Gear Solid. But, man, that's a lot of time. But meanwhile, I've put in probably 300 hours into Binding of Isaac. So who am I to say that I don't have the time to do this? But anyway, it's hard to say. Like you said, Bobby, ultimately it's just all relative, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby, your turn. The article I will be talking about is Video Game Voice Actors Strike is Authorized with 96% Approval. Ooh. So first of all, this doesn't mean that they are going to strike. This just means that they have the option to strike if negotiations don't go the way they want. So my question is, how important do you think voice actors are to video games these days?
Okay.
They're not as important as they think they are, I don't think. I think you can probably find some people very quickly to do just as good of a job. And they're not to the point where people it's not like an actor where you recognize somebody's voice and you're like, oh, that's that guy.
I mean,
you might.
Like Nolan North and right. What's that other dude's name that's in everything?
You might, but mm-hmm. You're not like, it's not the same thing where you're like, I enjoy this guy's work. Or I'm going to play this game because he's on there. Mm-hmm. Like a movie.
Yeah.
I want them to be compensated fairly. That I'm totally on board with. I think that voice acting is a much lower level. Like, the skill isn't as much as regular acting because you're not putting the physical part of it as well. So I just think they're easily replaced, and I don't know how much bargaining chips they have. Like, I would do voice acting for free if somebody asked me to, you know?
Yeah, but you wouldn't be spending 200 hours doing voice acting for free.
Right.
You wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to put this amount of time in.
Yep.
I agree with you that I feel like voice acting, because you're behind a screen and somebody else is doing all the work for the animation and all, yeah. I think they're much more common to get. You can just replace. It's not like the major leagues and the AAA. Like, you could just pull out another one. Because a lot of these voice actors that became popular, they weren't they were actors, but they weren't ever on anything because,
right.
You know, they didn't have the chops or they weren't discovered. I think a lot of times if they pull out a big name actor, it actually takes away from the game for me. Like, because now they have to, like, make the guy look like the person.
Which is always weird.
Yeah.
I always think.
I don't know. I'd rather have no name people acting in my video games.
Yeah.
As long as they're doing the job adequately, I'd much rather just have no names doing my acting for me.
Bobby disagrees.
No, I don't know. I think if, at least for AAA gaming, I think voice actors are a little more important than people realize. We've been playing video games for a long time. I remember very well how terrible voice acting was in older games. And you still occasionally see that in games as well. And I'm not just talking about, like, all your base are belong to us, or that wasn't even a voice acted line, but, you know, like Shenmue or these just god awful examples of terrible voice acting. I'm talking about just the mediocrity of voice acting. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a big difference between something that's just like, that's good for a video game or that's adequate for a video game. And wow, that's something like AAA, like, Phantom Pain. Like, everyone's been talking so much about that game. That game would not be the game it is without the voice acting behind it.
True. But they didn't need Kiefer Sutherland to be voice acting. They could have gotten... There's 8 billion actors that are trying to make it in Hollywood right now.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them would happily do this work for 10 cents on the dollar that Kiefer Sutherland is getting. And how much am I losing by getting one of those guys who are probably really good because...
Might have done a better job.
Yeah, like... I'm not saying they should be paid. If they're not being paid what they're worth, then that's an issue. But I don't know.
More power to them, for sure. Like,
well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you do that, I think you're going to get a mediocre production of voice acting. If you just pull somebody off the street and say, hey, just talking to this mic. I mean, yeah, that'll work. But there's a lot that goes into it. You know, when you voice act, you're acting with your voice. You aren't reliant on... or you can't use other things like your face or your expressions or anything like that to carry a message. So I'm sure you've seen plenty of cutscenes, as I have, where somebody says a line and I'm like, that really didn't seem like it fit right there, especially on like Telltale games. I'm just like, the tone wasn't really... You could tell like they recorded that not knowing what the rest of the conversation mm-hmm. was. Like, I see that so many times in games, and that's... The little things like that
I think
miss out.
I think that leads to the production of it. And I think that is what has been improved so much over the years, is that...
They can hide mistakes and stuff?
No, they have the people around it the directing and the producing of it, they now know, hey, okay, we know exactly how this is going to fit in the story. I need you to say it like this and say it like that. Mm. I think that has improved over the years because as these budgets get larger, they now have the room to hire these people that, you know, work in Hollywood and do this sort of thing for, you know, animation or cartoons. You know, they have those kind of people that can do that.
The worst part of this whole thing is that if you do a great job, nobody notices. Yeah. That's yeah. It's crazy, right? It's like CGI. Like, if you do really good CGI, you don't notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of the point.
I don't know if it's fair to say that, like, you know, they could get anybody else to do it for cheaper, too. Because, you know, you could get someone to do my job for cheaper, technically. And you could get someone to do anybody's job who would do it for a little bit less. And that goes down further and further till, you know, fucking Grapes of Wrath.
True.
You guys read that book, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Maybe once. Literally, I don't know.
High school literary references.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, they were paying people like, people were working for like pennies to pick oranges all day because there were no like union laws or whatever shit. But anywho, I don't know. Second. I think if we, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But regardless, like the effect won't, we won't see the effects of this until much, much later anyway.
Yeah, kind of like the actor strike. Like some, what was it? Some shows did a half season or some skipped a season, but it was like a
year
later. That
wasn't the actor. That was a writer strike.
Writer strike. That's what it was. Yeah.
So I've had this kind of mulling in the back of my head for a couple weeks now.
Excuse me while I lay down.
Just wanted to talk a little bit. We're going to get serious here for just a couple minutes before we get into the big story. But
have you heard of Jesus Christ?
No, please. There's a subreddit. You guys know Reddit, the website. There's a subreddit called Project Patch that came out a month or two ago. And basically what it is it's a place for gamers to go to talk openly about mental health and the like, suicide and everything related, depression, everything related to that. Because there's a stigma, I think, that video game players tend to have higher levels of this kind of antisocialism, depression, suicide, you know, that sort of thing. Like, there's still a kind of a stigma that gamers are outside the norm.
Are we agreeing on this? I don't think I agree with this.
It's changed recently. You know, it's changed over the years, but that's always kind of been an idea that's kind of been around. And it's gotten better now that games are online only and there's a lot of more online interactions and stuff.
Right.
So I was looking into this a little bit. It's a Project Patch is what it was called. But I was looking into it and I did some research. They actually did a research in 2011 that said people that play an hour of video games have improved mental health. They're happier. They feel better. However, if people play 4 or more hours, their increases of depression and suicide go up by like a factor of 4.
Is this a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just think it's a kind of an interesting, do you guys agree? Like, we all play in the 4+ category pretty much.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how they put an hour. They say what, an hour a day is good?
They say an hour is beneficial.
See, that's so funny because it's like drinking. You know, people say, oh, a glass of wine is good for you a day. But it's like, who the fuck drinks just a glass of wine, you know?
Regular people.
Yeah, regular people.
Well, they aren't doing it.
Non-alcoholics.
But yeah, I don't know anyone who just like, oh, well, that's my hour of video games today. I guess I'll go hit the books. Like, who the fuck does that? No. I definitely agree with that, though. And I can tell. I think that is the case. Like, if you play more than 4 hours of video games, it's going to negatively affect you. And a lot of people don't realize that. And they wonder why they're anxious or they have anxiety or they're a little more edgy or whatever. It does have an effect on you. First of all, you're sitting down in the same place. You're twitching your hand ever so slightly. I mean, it's just like, it's really a neurotic behavior. And I know, like, I spend almost all day Saturday if I have the day off playing games. And after that, I'm just like, fuck, I need a break, you know?
Yeah, that shit can negatively affect you right into a house in L.A.
Yeah.
A $5 million house in L.A.
$5 million house. The other thing that I saw was that video games actually can improve certain brain functions. Alzheimer's, dementias, and schizophrenia can all be improved by actually playing video games because...
The problem solving, right?
Well, that... It stresses your brain, which is a good thing. It's like a muscle. The more you work it, the stronger it becomes.
Yeah, they say you're able to track more points of interest if you're playing video games. They had a really good video on it, some like science channel on YouTube. I can't remember the name of it exactly. It's like ASAP Science or something. Mm. But they had one like, are video games good for you?
Yeah. The last thing I just wanted to bring up is we've had other... I've had people that I've met through gaming, you know, bring up issues with, you know, depression and other things like that. And I think there are avenues to pursue. And I think gaming isn't antisocial anymore, but there's some people still have that stigma to it. And like, I think it's changing for the positive, but
it's a tool like any other. You could use it to have fun. You could use it to get better. You could use it to get worse. It's like a hammer. You can break somebody's head with it or you can build a house. Gaming is just one of these things that has many functions, and it can be used for good or for evil.
Oh, and they have recognized video games as an addiction also. Mm. There's
video game addiction clinics in Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something to think about. We talk about the fun of gaming and stuff. There is a darker side, just like anything else. You watch, you know, violent movies and anything else, you just have to be aware. I think people need to be aware of themselves and see, you know, what's going on with their lives and all, and make sure you stay normal, you know. All right, that's all the my serious talk for the day.
God damn, can we talk about some games?
Let's do it.
Bobby, what the fuck's the bug catcher?
Are you sure we don't want to talk about Battlefront beta yet?
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars Battlefront went open
beta. What'd you think of it, Bobby?
I thought it was delightful. I played 0 hours, and it was exhilarating.
So I played a little bit. I played on the console before it went open beta, because I got in a couple days early on it.
When did it go open beta? Because I had no idea this was
open. It went open beta on Wednesday, I believe.
Hmm. Sounds about right.
But they were doing closed betas starting on Monday. So, yeah. So I played a little bit of it. I kind of like the card mechanic. What did you think of the card mechanic?
Yeah,
Good. Explain it to our listeners.
Cards is it's just another way of saying your loadout, and you can unlock new things to put into your loadout, and you can switch it out on the fly depending on. And I did quite a bit once I started unlocking things. You know, when you're playing just as a ground troop, and all you're doing is fighting other ground troops, it's really easy. You just need a grenade and maybe a jetpack or whatever. But then when you're fighting against machinery and vehicles, you want some...
Or Jedi.
You want something that it's going to affect those things. So like a plasma cannon or something like that. So basically, it's just your loadout. You get four cards in your hand. There's two side weapons.
L1 and R1. Sure. For the console.
Get out of here, man. I'm likes that shit. And then your ultimate, I guess, if you want to call it that, but it doesn't come back in time. That's the only one you have to pick up a power up to. So that could be a personal shield, or that could be you change into a plasma cannon, basically. I really enjoyed this game. I had a lot of fun. I'm not really one for the Battlefield games anymore because it just seems kind of mindless after a while, but... Then so is TF2, so what's the difference, right? I think the difference is fun for me. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, this seems to be like a lot of fun. I could sit there for hours. And I have. I've streamed this for 6 hours already in 2 days or something like that. It's beautiful. I mean, we've already gone all through this. The sounds, the animations, they nailed the movies.
Does it feel like a Battlefield game? Like, does it have that same kind of... feel to it, like
when the respawn and start running.
Mm-hmm. Is there any point of it? Yeah. Any like squad grouping?
Yeah, you can play with your friends, and then you can spawn on your friends, which I wouldn't know about too much because I don't have any friends that play.
We'll play tomorrow.
But
what did you get on the vehicle map? Did you play mm-hmm. some of the 40 man map?
It's a fucking clusterfuck, man.
Is it?
That's one of my things that I didn't like so much. And also, you know, these are things that are going to be worked out, I think, because I might have played 20 games of those two of the times the Rebels won. It's very... I mean, the other side has fucking planes and fucking AT-ATs and AT-STs.
It's the Hoth fight, right?
It's the Hoth. It's the Battle of Hoth, yeah.
So basically, you're defending, trying to defend a base?
Right. But your Rebels. Weapons, your vehicles are stationary. They just sit there. You jump in your little hut, and those things can be blown up super easy. Mm-hmm. So they need to... I don't want to get into it too much.
Some balancing issues.
Yeah, some balancing issues. I'm going to run down what I didn't like. First of all, reiterate... A lot of fun. Plus, there's unlocking mechanisms, and you feel like you're leveling up, and you're playing for a purpose. And I felt like I got to have vehicles and special characters enough for what I played. Like, I got to play... I've played, like I said, 20 games or so of Hoth, and I was Darth Vader twice
or three times. How do you get Darth Vader?
Darth Vader and vehicles are just floating in space. They're a little hard to see, kind of.
Okay.
So they're like pickups.
They're like pickups, but it's weird on Hoth because they're blue and the ice is white. And they're see-through. So they're kind of weird. I don't know if that's on purpose that they kind of
hide because they are blue and see-through in the survival mode Tatooine.
Show them on the mini-map, do they?
I don't think so, no. And the other thing about that is, like, so you can pick up the power-up, but you still need to call in the vehicle or call Darth Vader on the phone or whatever to tell him to show up.
The phone?
Yeah, yeah. You kneel down and you kind of call it, and it takes, I don't know, 2-3 seconds. And, you know, just like Battlefield, when there's a pilot that knows what the fuck he's doing, good fucking luck, right? Yeah. And I've been camped. The people camp those little... power-ups, those little
pickups. Oh, they're in set spots.
So when you go to call your dude, I got shot while I was... that's the only time, or one of two times that the Empire lost. Like, there was a pilot so good that he just camped all our vehicles and killed us while we were trying to call over and over and over.
So I don't know if there's something about that. Like, in the Battlefield games, that'll happen a lot. People bomb the enemy base, or all the vehicles spawn in one certain area, and somebody will take a helicopter or something over there and just constantly blow them up.
On the other side of that, though, you know, if you have a really, really skilled pilot in a real battlefield, he's probably going to dominate the battlefield, right?
I know, but there's a fair way to do it.
And usually that's enforced by the server. If they catch someone doing that, spawn camping, then they'll kick that person or rectify the situation that way. But I don't know if we're going to see any sort of regulation from EA on that.
I was really hoping that those were going to be like... kill streak bonuses.
Yeah, that's what would make sense. But then, on the other hand, that means a shitty player would never get a chance. Never, ever.
Correct. You gotta actually play the game.
So you're okay never playing Darth Vader?
I am very skilled. I would be constantly playing Darth Vader.
I did take down an AT-ST. Those are the smaller ones, right?
Yeah.
I took one down with Luke Skywalker. That was fucking sweet. I died in the process, but I thought it was a good trade-off. These are my problems with it. Again, I can't read... Sounds. Graphics. Fucking feel. All top-notch. So much fun. But I'm going to shit on it a little bit.
So the graphics, like, when they first released screenshots, everybody was like, wow, these graphics are amazing. What did you think of the graphics on the PC?
Yeah, amazing.
It lived up to the hype.
It's hard for me to say... if it's better than Metal Gear Solid. Mm. Because Metal Gear Solid went for realism, and this went for Star Wars. And Star Wars isn't real, but they nailed Star Wars perfectly. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I want to say this, maybe, because... Fuck. They nailed Star Wars exactly. Exactly. Even the animation, dudes are getting shot. I've seen that so many times. And I swear they pulled sound clips from the movies. I know those ones. I know them from the movies. It's great. So there were some lag issues. But we're in beta. There's a bunch of shit going on. So...
plus everybody and their mothers trying to get on the game.
And they usually do these types of beta tests to stress the servers.
See
how much they can hold. So... it's common.
One of my favorite things about this game are the animations. and I've said this multiple times, but the animations on the special characters are shit. Like, they look very weird, and so I'm sure they're going to smooth that out. You know, I've only seen Vader and Luke. I'm sure they're going to smooth that out, because they just kind of look like a cartoon amongst men, in a way. They're, you know, when everything else is so smooth,
gotcha.
Just a little bit of offness, you know, really sticks out.
Yeah.
Overall, it's a clusterfuck. I've played 20 games of Hoth. I really don't know what's going on still. I know that because the Rebels are getting stomped so bad every time that it's hard to figure out what they're supposed to. I know that we're supposed to keep the uplinks up, and that's about it. But I don't know. The layout of the map is really weird, and where the guys spawn is really weird. I don't know exactly how it goes down, but I'm going to keep playing. It's very limited right now, the open beta, but it's free, and just download Origin and play it, so do that. And then my skill level went down significantly anytime I went into any sort of vehicle. Like, so bad. Planes, I already know I suck at planes, so that's a given. Battlefield never was good at, I got okay with helicopters for a little while, but yeah, I can't fly planes. But the AT-ATs and the AT-STs, the AT-ATs, that giant thing, you shooting with that thing
is it just one person controlling that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, I thought it was going to be like five or six people controlling that.
Yeah, thing. You only have 1 minute, but then everybody you kill gives you 1 second. So a really good dude can like stay in there for the whole game because he's just mowing.
Does it die stuff. Afterwards, or does someone else take it?
No, it gets taken over because Hoth is all about. It's kind of like a payload map, and the payload are the walkers. Oh, so okay. There's two walkers. If they go down, the Empire loses. If they make it, they blow up the shield generators. Yeah, it's pretty cool in that way. But I wish there was a train track like on TF2. So anybody else got anything else to say? Because I was going to segue. Right.
If you so. Two betas you've played recently, Rainbow Six Siege, Rainbow Six Siege, and this game.
Yeah.
As of right now, you only get one. Which one?
Are you fucking kidding me? Star Wars. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you were having a blast playing Siege.
I thought it was a one-trick pony that did that one trick very well.
Okay.
And those graphics were exceptional as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted to segue into a payload map that's missing from the new TF2 update. It's called the Invasion Update. What's interesting about this one, costs $2 if you want to get the little token. 4 new maps, all from top to bottom, from the weapons to the maps, to the overall feel and sound effects, all user created. But Valve covered them and, you know, are promoting it as one of their own things. So, I was a little let down, actually. The updates have been so great lately that, you know, Valve has a certain level of you could just trust them, you know? And then when it's user-made, you can kind of see that there's a lack of polish. The maps look great, but 3 of them are really not fun. One's an arena map. Nobody plays arena, ever. Mm-hmm. Or that's kind of like a dead thing. So that's gone. But the other two or three are okay. There's some new weapons for $2. I guess I could recommend it. But overall, I'm not having a great time with the new content. And so, yeah. And it's kind of a bummer because I like playing TF2.
So this is like maybe the first time it's kind of a money grab. For TF2?
Well, it's not for them, though. The community gets all the money.
Oh.
Because they created it all. So in that respect, you know, you should probably support the modders. Yeah, especially if you play TF2.
Cool.
Yeah, you get this token that you can level up, kind of like the last one, but this one is just per kill. So you could actually see it go up many times per game. You know that whole, like, dangerously... dangerously colored one, and then it goes like unexpectedly dangerous, and then, you know, these levels that go up that don't make any sense, but it just keeps going up. And like I never had a weapon
speed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all alien based, but you'll never see an alien. The spaceships come around. Sometimes you get sucked into a spaceship, but like one of the maps is Two Fort with some like alien stuff around it, but that's about it. There's just like pods around. That's
they
pretty
just
much it.
Reskin Two Fort.
Yeah, they reskin Two Fort.
Best
Two Fort
map, was, anyways. So.
Yeah, nobody plays that map on TF2. No. That was the map on Team Fortress Classic. Yeah. Two Fort all day.
Yep.
All right, what else did we play?
I played a fun little game called
The Heroes of the Storm.
Yes. Been playing that. But I also played this game called The Bug Catcher. Now, I know,
right? It sounds horrible.
It does.
The Bug Catcher, that sounds like Milo's dating life.
Not going to give it to you on that one.
Come on, that was kind of funny. Give me kind of, okay.
Women are bugs.
I meant herpes and all that stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, right, thank you.
Okay. You have to explain it. It's not that good.
I'm sorry you guys aren't quick-witted like I am.
All right.
So anyways.
So this game I got from G2A. G2A has a really weird way of working their promo codes. So I sell games on G2A that I have extra from Humble Bundles and whatever. And I spend that on games I want to get. One of those games that I wanted to get was the original StarCraft Anthology, StarCraft and the expansion they had. I'm talking about the old one from way back in the day. Because I never really played that one very much, and I'd like to give that a shot. And I really like Reign of Chaos and Frozen Throne, and I'd really like to play through, you know, I like old games. And it was only $8, and I had like a $10 voucher. So I was
$8
like,
$8?
Yeah, $8 on G2A.
That sounds expensive. How old is that game?
Well, it's for both of them, but it's $15 if you get it through battle.net, which it's a Blizzard game. They're expensive. Yeah. That's no way around that.
That's valid.
Is there a campaign?
Yeah, okay. It's a campaign. There's versus, but no one's playing versus these days, I'd imagine. And then there's the expansion. And I've been playing so much of StarCraft II and Heart of the Swarm. I'm kind of getting into the story a little bit now, and I kind of want to know the history of it. But anyway, I had a couple bucks left over on G2A that I had to spend on something, and The Bug Catcher showed up on my recommended list on Steam. And the art style kind of drew me to it immediately. I'll pull it up for you so you can see it. But it looked like a cheap, dumb game, but like the art style looked like they had actually put some effort into it. So I thought I'd check it out, and I thought it was going to be just like a platformer game, but it turns out it's The Bug Butcher. I keep calling it The Bug Catcher. I don't know why. The Bug Butcher.
Wow, that totally changes things. There was like kitty anime looking guys.
I'm trying to Google image it. And it's like
butterfly nets.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so you can see the art style here, and it's got this really kind of comical art style to it. And you play this little exterminator that goes into this sci-fi fortress, and he's got to kill all these bugs that have infested it. And it's a vertical shooter, so it's, think Space Invaders. But the enemies aren't constantly descending on you. They're bouncing off of walls. There's different types of enemies. Some that crawl on the walls, some that bounce off walls, some that shoot things at you.
Really arcadey, it seems like.
Yeah, very arcadey. Definitely recommend this with a controller. And as you progress through it, there's a little bit of a story, but each level gets a little more difficult, a little more complex. There's walls that you can disappear, and there's special power-ups. It's actually pretty fun as an arcade game. And I'd recommend it. I got it for $1.50 on G2A. But the thing that I really like about this, and I've been seeing this more on games, is it has a leaderboard that matches with your friends list. And that's nothing new, but that really adds a lot to me when I'm playing.
Every time, yeah. Every time I see that, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I get nothing out of that.
Really?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, you're always on the bottom.
Yeah.
Because I have no desire to be higher than the bottom. Like, dude, I don't...
Even a ladder needs a bottom rung, man. Don't feel bad. And it's arguably the most important rung.
Every time I see something that Milo or Bobby put, I'm like, okay, they played that level 100 times because they have more time to put into this than I do. So I'm going to get...
what you tell yourself. What if you got to tell yourself, buddy?
This is the only thing in life that Emilio is better at than me, so I'm going to give it to him.
Well, see, I got a lot of people on my friends list, so I'm always...
About 3,000 worth, right?
Well, 2000's a limit.
Oh, that's right.
But there was a game that came out when Kung Fury came out. There was a really cheap arcade game that came out for like a dollar or two. That's basically One Finger Death Punch, but even more simplified.
Whoa.
And
yeah, zero finger?
Just left clicking?
You just watch?
Yeah, it's basically One Finger Death Punch, but without all like the weapons and a few of the other mechanics of the game. Mm. But I played that for hours trying to beat this one guy's score on there because I just wanted the top placement because I was like number two on my friends list.
Did you get it?
No, never did. This guy must have put in some work.
But it was exactly what he just said exactly. About us.
Yeah. He was actually autistic, and that is literally all he did all day.
No, I checked how many hours he had played the game, and it was more than I had. But no, I really like that competition. That goes back to the early days of arcades when you got to put your name on the scoreboard, and you know, you could customize your name, which was always fun. You can't really do that in a lot of these games, but I do like that sort of competitiveness, and they have that for each level on the Bug Butcher. So I appreciate that when I see it.
I kind of dig it. I like the way it looks.
Was that an image, the dude on hard mode, is he naked? What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. It's like Wolfenstein when you select the difficulty.
Less clothes.
Yeah. So
no
on
armor,
easy
right?
mode, you have armor. Medium, he's, you know, a little less.
That makes sense.
Hard mode, he's just in his underwear and he's, yeah.
So what you're saying is Amiibo's rocking hard mode right now.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby's pretty cool and chill most of the time, but when you call how many friends he has on Steam into question. He got kind of passive aggressive and snooty on you. He's like, you can only have 2,000.
Which I do.
I've hit the maximum amount.
No, I've found that out. I've already explained the reasoning behind having lots of friends on Steam and how that works into your Steam SEO. And
What you know. Level are you now? Have you...
Oh, I'm still... 386.
Give up that fight?
No, you only level... If I ever get around to making a video on how to level up your account even more effectively, even more than the last video I made, like I've got a better strategy, you can only level 2 times a year during the Steam sales. That's the only time you want to level. It's the most effective way to level.
Okay. But only 2 times a year?
Mm-hmm. During the Steam Summer Sale and the Steam Winter Sale are the only times you want to crack
so
matches.
What rank are you?
386.
No, I mean like...
rank? I have no idea. I'm probably somewhere in the top 50 still, but... The highest guy is 717.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And when's the money start rolling in?
Yeah.
Well,
is this like when are you buying your $4.5 million house? That's what I want to know.
I am getting Steam card packs like every 2 days on the reg. You know, just they're coming in.
What do you mean?
Well, the higher level you are, the more you get random card pack drops.
Just for being you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the higher level you are. Do you guys ever get free card packs?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
No, I don't know. Yeah, me neither.
I think you have to be a certain level for those to start coming in. But yeah, the higher you get, the more often they come. And then you can sell those, craft them, do whatever.
I think I'm level 12, so...
Yeah. No, you're working. Does that work?
I bought
some
keys the other day for TF2. Didn't turn out. I got the lowest rung on both of them.
Are you unpacking crates?
Yeah.
Well, you got to get them off that one. What is that, tf2warehouse.com or something?
Because I figure if I get one rare, that'll pay for months of keys.
Yeah,
much.
Some of those rares sell for 50, 30 60, to 100 bucks. Yeah. I mean, the Counter-Strike ones are, I think, more expensive.
Yeah,
but
those go up to $500-$600.
Should we jump into League of Legends World Championships?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
I kind of want to talk about that.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. And the only thing I really have to say about this is there's some friends of David's that I play Heroes of the Storm with. And one of them had mentioned when we were watching the North American Opens how, you know, Heroes of the Storm was a little more interesting to watch than League. And I had never watched League before, but I understand exactly what he was saying now. He had said that, you know, it's pretty boring watching people last hit enemies for like minutes on end.
Mm.
But and when I watched the game, there was quite a bit of that. Of course, the commentators kind of keep it going and keep you interested, but the camera positioning was seriously on one lane, just, you know, watching these guys last hit minions, and then it skips over the other lane. They're doing the same thing. It seemed a lot slower paced, even
Heroes
compared to
Dota. Heroes gets right into it, right?
It does.
Yeah, Heroes is almost like a, what's that mode in Smite?
ARAM, all random.
Not ARAM, but...
ARAM, right?
No, the other mode.
Arena mode?
Arena. It's almost like Arena. You roll fives. Occasionally, you send a specialist off to farm a lane, but for the most part, you're rolling fives in Heroes. Like, you do not want to be caught out.
Right off the bat?
Very quickly. I mean, matches, especially in the competitive scene, matches go like 15 minutes.
So it's like group battles right off the bat.
Practically, yeah.
Because you only need one person in lane, and if there's only two lanes, three people are roaming.
Yeah, I dig that. I dig that, but I also, you know, there is skill to farming.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I mean. Like,
because farming's not fun to watch, though.
But it is if that's your game. That's what I mean. Like, his game is Heroes of the Storm, so of course he's not going to like League of Legends because he doesn't have that involvement.
No. Watching farming is not fun for anybody.
If you're an AD carry and you like being an AD carry, you're interested in seeing how the pros are doing AD carries because there's complexities in just last hitting that are...
Yeah, but it's so subtle.
But I understand what you're saying. That it does. I will say this, though. I would rather watch competitive Dota over competitive Heroes of the Storm, definitely. But League of Legends, I was completely bored with. I did not find last hitting enemies interesting in any way. See, and I don't see the laning phases being all that interesting.
League of Legends laning phase is not very long, though. Like, it is really quick. It's almost Smite-esque, where you lane for a little bit, and then you start going into group mechanics and all.
Yeah, but how long is a League of Legends game? I mean, that's about, what, 40 minutes?
No.
30 minutes?
The longest that was in there was 44 minutes, but that was the absolute longest.
Can we agree, though, that team fights are the most exciting thing in MOBAs, right?
Yeah.
But getting there is a little bit of excitement for getting there, too. Yeah. Like, an early pick is really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's definitely exciting. But you know what I really like about Heroes, too, is they have objectives. They have different objectives depending on the map. And that's you don't see that in other things as well.
It forces the action, right?
Yeah, it forces the action.
They all have that. You have the dragon fight at a couple minutes in. You have the baron fight a couple minutes in. I mean, farther in.
Yeah,
they have objectives,
but
they are standard because they have a standard map.
Yeah, but I don't know. For some reason, and Dota games are just as long, if not longer, than League of Legends games. LoL games. I'm just going to call it LoL.
Yeah.
But I still find them a lot more exciting. I don't know if that was the fault of the cameramen. I'll tell you this. During the North American Opens on, or the North American tournament on Heroes, the cameraman was just, you know, he was trying a little too hard. Like, he was going in for the close-up, and then something exciting happened. I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You know, just fucking relax here.
No, the camera work is really important in those commentary
games.
Shouldn't
they get a different camera? Like, something that zooms out way further?
You know, Heroes did. They had one that zoomed out further than you had. It had a wider field of view than a normal player would have.
That'd be good.
So you could actually see more.
When I was watching streams of Heroes of New Earth back in the day, they had a camera view because, you know, Heroes of New Earth, you're really close
right
in there.
Right up the asshole.
So they actually had commentary view where you could actually back it up further because some of those team fights, you know, they're covering a lot of area. So you'd want that camera to back out so you could see all that.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot. I don't play League of Legends, but I enjoy this high level play. It's not just the high level play that I enjoy. The commentary is awesome. Like, I feel like I'm watching a professional sport when I see this commentary because it's the level of commentary is really good. And I don't regularly play these guys, so I'll sometimes have a secondary tab up where I'm looking at hero abilities just so I know how that hero is played and what his abilities are. But these guys do an excellent job explaining it. I think experienced League of Legends players still get enjoyment out of it, and newer players also do. What I really thought was cool was when Dota was doing it, they had a newbie cast. I thought that was a really cool idea. But
I think
overall,
that stuff is pretty commonplace now, though. I mean, every sort of competitive event seems to have that caliber of quality now.
Do you get that in Heroes of the Storm as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they blow it out. I mean, it's Blizzard. They do it all up. And same thing with the CSGO Cologne, what is that? The ESL Cologne tournament that happened recently. I mean, that was just very professional. I mean, we live in a day and age where this is just it's common.
So the big takeaway that I have as being a U.S.
Is it over?
No. It's
World Championship.
They're still in group mode.
Yeah, they're still going to group
mode. It's set up similar to World Cup where they've got
qualifiers,
16
and all that
teams.
Okay.
So there was three qualifiers in U.S., three qualifiers in China, three qualifiers in Europe, three qualifiers in...
We should try to watch the Grands together.
Korea, and then two in Taiwan, and two to world, just rant.
Got it.
Whatever. So there's 16 total. They're in, grouped into fours. They play each other twice. So the top two then advance, and then you get eight. You
when is the grand final?
It's not going to be for a while. They're still in group phases.
Group stage. We should try to watch it together. That's always fun.
Yeah. My big takeaway is League of Legends America is supposed to be the shit league. Like, we're always shit on.
Yeah.
We brought three teams in, Countalogic Gaming, Team Solo Mid, and Cloud9 Gaming.
Out of 16?
Yeah.
Just like anything, I mean, not to say, oh, gung-ho America. Once we get involved in something, we kind of take over. Eventually. It just kind of...
We have a lot of guys, a lot of resources, and a lot of people.
Yeah. not saying we're the best, but it just seems to happen.
So, two of the games, one team's out of it. One team might be in it, but it could be out of it. But Cloud9 Gaming is 3-0 right now, and they were like, if you watch the North America qualifiers, I think they barely qualified to get in. They were like a 7 seed that managed to get their way in.
You know, I didn't see that. I think I watched the Korean ones, but I missed the American ones, which were the ones I was more interested in.
So I'm putting all my chips in on Cloud9. I'm like a little fanboy here for the next couple of weeks to watch this. I'm going to go all in and see if Cloud9 can do some work here in the worlds.
Cool. All right. So as soon as Emilio finishes pissing, then we'll talk about Undertale. I'm actually
I can bring up Guild Wars.
Oh yeah, yeah. You were playing Guild Wars 2.
So playing Guild Wars 2, that game is a lot of fun. We talked about MMOs. What was that? Last week? 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
A buddy of mine had wanted to play Guild Wars, and of course, as soon as I start playing, he's MIA, and I don't see him, so I've been playing this solo. Played like a Necromancer up to level 30 and realized the Necromancer class is not for me, so now I'm starting over again. But it's just so fun. One of the best parts on Guild Wars is the map. They have these like objectives, so there's vantage points that you can go up to, and you can they'll do like a little camera work or whatever.
I always appreciated those because they take so much time making these worlds, and some people just truck right through it. These vantage points make you appreciate it.
Yeah,
forces you to go up there and take a good stop here. Smell these fucking flowers because we're gonna give you some XP.
But we were talking about our game's too big. But this game is cool because I want to explore it, because I want to hit all these things. I'm a completionist. I want to see... When the map says there's 30 points of interest, and here they are on the map, I want to go and click all... Make sure I get all of them. I'm just that type of player. And this game just feeds that addiction so hard. You want... It tells you right when you're selecting your character how complete the map is. Like, my main guy is 10% complete on the map, and I just want to get that up as much as
I can. The map of the entire world?
The entire world.
I remember there was an achievement, World Explorer, where...
WoW did that also, and I, of course, got that. But that right there feeds my interest. You know, there's different types of gamers, and I'm an explorist. Like, I want to go, but I want to be rewarded for doing that.
Well, the cool thing about Guild Wars 2 is they give you a substantial amount of XP for doing that.
Exactly.
And for getting XP.
You can.
You know, with WoW, you explore a new area. It's like 82 XP. You know, it's trivial,
right?
But the best in WoW was when you hit a level from doing an exploration like that.
You'd just be walking all of a sudden, boom.
That's the best.
But I like how Guild Wars does that, because Guild Wars 2 says... Whatever you want to do, however you want to play, if you want to craft, if you want to explore, if you want to fight, you know, whatever you do, you're going to level up. And WoW kind of adopted that a little bit, too. You can level up in WoW with PvP now, which you couldn't really do that before. You got no XP from going into Warsong Gulch or Arahi Basin. But
originally, they said that you can level up through being a merchant, right?
In
Guild Wars?
Yeah, but you need to be able to get the stuff. So how do you get the stuff?
Commerce, right? I mean,
if you got a main account with a bunch of gold, then you can buy it. But
something's got to get you started. But you could probably go out and just get the first few.
You need a little startup.
Get started,
buddy. Yeah.
It's not like
guys, whatever. Give me some little WoW gold, some little gold. I'm gonna turn this shit. You'll have five times your money back in 2 weeks. Promise. Don't mind that guy in the corner over there. He's looking at me funny.
The other thing that I love about Guild Wars, so I'm a crafter. Every time, if I'm playing WoW, I'm picking up two professions. Emilio would play WoW, he'd get to level 80 or whatever, and yeah. never pick up a profession.
No, I
don't. Or a quest, but
yeah,
I love the crafting aspect. And I think Guild Wars 2 does such a good job on the crafting aspect, because they don't have a guy that has 800 recipes that you're going up to and picking up, or recipes just suddenly show up, like you suddenly learn how to bake bread or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't do that. What you got to do is discover recipes.
By doing what?
So they've got a discovery page. So as like a weaponsmith, you go to the weaponsmith like station or whatever. So you click on it, and it's got the one where you've got your recipes and you can craft them, and it tells you how many you can craft and whatever. But then they've got another page, a discovery page, and when you go to that, it brings up all the items you have, and it kind of shows you which ones have available recipes. So you can start dragging things down and discovering, okay, so if I pull a rune...
By experimentation?
And not experimentation necessarily. It tells you which ones are kind of left available. So you pull a rune, and then everything grays out except for two items. So then you pull another item, and everything grays except for that last item. And you pull it, and it says, oh, you can make a recipe with this. And then you craft it, and suddenly you have that new recipe now, and now that's available.
So kind of like guesswork, but it's educated guesswork.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's cool because you then start crafting things. You know, when you play WoW, you're making 80 sweaters or whatever.
Right.
That's not like this in this. You craft a bunch of different stuff because you want them available in your discovery page so you can use them to discover recipes. And the discover recipes is where you really earn your XP. Like, if you discover one thing, it's better than crafting 8 other things. You know what I mean?
Are you ready for it? If you choose to accept it, how about this week you try to make a character and go just crafting?
I don't have the money to do it.
No money, no startup money. Just go and like pick some berries, turn that into a pie, sell the pie.
You don't even get the gathering thing until you hit level 8. Or
just
9.
See if it's possible.
Okay.
Look into it.
I will see what I can do.
All right. Cool.
Because I've got so much time.
Are you willing to say that it's the best MMO out there now?
It's the best free MMO, for sure.
All right.
And I would say it's the best crafting portion of an MMO that I've experienced.
And graphically, it's way better than WoW.
Yes.
No, I haven't seen WoW recently, but Guild Wars 2
is terrible, man. I see him playing sometimes, and I'm like, oh.
No, but WoW is stylistic. But
still, it's old stylistic.
I know, but it's been going around for how many years? Like, we're close to 10 years now on WoW, aren't we?
Yeah, nobody says that it's 10 years good. You know?
But graphically, the only way...
People play because they're invested.
The only way you can hold up graphically for 10 years is if you pick a style.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. But it still looks super dated. The particle effects, all that stuff, super dated.
It does. But you can also play it on like a 386 with like 128 megs of RAM.
So I wanted to make a bigger deal about this. Undertale got ridiculous, ridiculous reviews. Have you guys seen about this?
This is the Warhammer one?
Yeah.
No.
Wait, which is
this? Is just a JRPG style game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw this, you know, like you're like a girl and...
You're like a girl. And their whole thing is that you could beat this... Okay, where do I start? One, Metacritic, I don't know where it's at now, but it was 97% the first week. Which puts it above Half-Life 2, which is 96%.
Damn.
Yeah. So this is... it's 96 right now, so...
But they only have 15 reviews so far.
Arguably, it can
on
be said.
On Steam, it had a huge...
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, it was really positive.
So I played it for...
I saw a review, and the reviewer was like, how did this game make me cry? Like, it was all about, like, how is this game so emotional when it shouldn't be?
I don't know how long it is. Maybe I should have looked into it. I think, because I've heard it's pretty short. I must be towards the end because I feel at least halfway. The whole thing in this game is you can do it without killing anything. So you kind of have to figure out if you want. You can kill everything if you want. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to affect my ending. But it's more about figuring out how to get out of a situation. So, for example, there's a big angry knight, but he was a dog. So I kind of like petted him at first, pet him a little bit, but he was too far away. So then what I do, I stood still and he came forward and then I pet him and then he retreated. And this is all like a process. Every time they take a turn, this is what keeps it fun. And like, not, they, it turns into a really quick game of asteroids where like they're attacking you and you're a little heart and you have to dodge all the attacks. And so it's a, that part is action. It's a little arcadey little thing that happens. And then you're back into a JRPG. And then you take your turn. Okay. I'll attack him for 20 points. And then he gets a turn, and you're dodging all these little random things again. It's almost separate from the regular game. It's hard to describe this. I've never played anything like it. Why is everybody... Why is it getting these reviews? All I can say is it's incredibly fucking charming. And I had a smile on my face the whole time. It's just very clever, very cute, and just fun to play. Like, you have a feeling like you're kind of like hanging out with a friend, like a really nice friend while you're playing it. And I don't know how much more to say.
And that's the main character?
No, just the feeling that you get from playing this game. Yeah,
Who made this game, by the way?
I don't know, but
Toby Fox.
Okay, so it's just an individual?
Yeah.
I wouldn't give it that high of a score because the visuals are so incredibly bad. They're not even stylized 8-bit graphics. They're just 8-bit graphics. You could have done so much more. I could totally see this being modded out with really great graphics and just keep everything else, but it's really, really bad. So, I'm very happy. Like, I don't think it deserves everything that it's been getting, but I do get a new feeling. Like, it's an emotional game. For me, it hasn't been sad for me, but it does bring out... You know, okay, we're talking about Darkest Dungeon, and you have an underlying stress the whole time. This is an underlying happiness the whole time. Like,
really?
Glee. Yeah. And I don't know why exactly, but it does that.
I'm going to have to try this game out.
It's very clever.
Do you have any interest, Bobby, in playing this game?
Yes, I do, actually. This looks pretty good. I'm so tired of pixel art, but I don't know. This looks like straight off of Super Nintendo to me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, guys. That's Nintendo.
But the reviews
graphics.
Can't lie. I mean, if it's getting this good of reviews...
Well, her story got that, and I have no interest in playing that game.
Well, you haven't played it.
I don't think that got as good of reviews as this.
Yeah.
I'll just run through a couple other things. I played Subnautica.
On my account, did you play?
Yeah. Okay. And there's no, it doesn't hold your hand at all.
Yeah.
Like, good fucking luck, right?
Yeah. Just throws it in.
So, I got to the point where I'm gonna assume that you guys listened to Chad's review of it.
Check it out like 2 months ago.
Yeah, he really enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it quite as much because I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing. It's kind of exploring and picking shit up, pretty much, right?
Well, it's a crafting survival game. Yeah. That's kind of the point of it.
Yeah, but it's weird in that, like, there's no chopping down trees.
There is more trees, about, like, but the trees are, like, coral.
I feel more like it's luck on what you find.
No, it's standardized. Like, if you start a new one...
Oh, it's not random?
I didn't notice it to be random. Maybe it is.
Did you die?
When I started over, I seemed to go to the same spot. Sorry, Bobby.
Did you die?
Move my hands around. Yeah, I've died before.
But what killed you?
I got down deep and a shark-ish.
Oh, one of those sharkish things. Yeah, I've seen them. And what's crazy about those sharks is they pick up materials and swim off with them, too. They're interested in the same shit you are, which is kind of cool. So I made this, like, machine that it's kind of like...
the submarine little thing?
No, but it's not a submarine. It's kind of like a platform that I can stand on above the water. And then it has drones, and then I don't know what the fuck to do with it. So it's a platform that floats, right?
Okay.
That first, it's a suitcase. and you throw the suitcase, and it becomes a platform that floats.
Okay.
So you get on the platform, and four drones come out of every corner of it, okay. And then that's it. Like, I don't know what to do after that.
Because eventually you can make submarines and actual, like, vehicles and everything else.
Makes all sense.
Yeah. So maybe that's a platform to help you do that?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, maybe they work on things. I don't know.
Did you get, like, radiation from going next to the big...
At the very... Maybe the first thing that I did was go see if I could salvage anything from the big ship.
And that does not work.
So, yeah, the whole story is a big ship came out. You're an escape pod. You're the only person that survived. You're in an ocean. And you just kind of like, good luck, pretty much. I don't know if I'll play it again. I'll hope that Chad plays it and see where it goes. But it's one of these things.
It's still early access, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like The Long Dark, where I don't want to play it till it's finished because they don't know if it's fair yet. I want to play it when it's fair. I don't know if it's fair yet. You know what I mean?
You got farther than I did. I never made this platform thing.
Oh, I think it's luck. Well, it's luck that there wasn't a shark protecting whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, for a while, I'm trying to figure out how to survive. You know, like, you got to, like, kill the things and waters. Because you're in water. It's underwater. Everything's underwater. Yeah. But it's all, like, salt water, so you can't drink that. So now you got to figure out how to...
You have to find a puffer fish and use them as a filter, basically, is what you do.
Or you can, like, make bleach.
I never did that. So it's funny that we have two kind of different... outcomes.
Maybe the game has changed since I played.
No, that
because I didn't even see some platform suitcase.
Yeah,
as one of my options.
Platform suitcase. And then Binding of Isaac. Chad, you came in the room the other night just randomly.
Yeah,
because this is all my girlfriend wants to play.
If I walk in, you guys are either boning each other, and I leave after about 10 or 15 minutes.
We don't shut the door.
Or you guys are playing Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
And then there's that very rare third of a Venn diagram where those two intersect, and they're actually having sex while playing Binding of Isaacs, and then it gets really weird.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching the whole time.
That's the one you stay
for. Yeah, that's the one I stay for.
And it just so happens, for the first time ever playing Binding of Isaac, I got to this room called the chest. I don't look shit up in games to see what I can unlock or how to unlock it. Because I'd rather it happen naturally. And it totally happened
organically,
naturally.
Yeah.
Organically, yeah. And Chad was in the room. And he's like, what is this? I don't know. Look it up. That's
which
when
is
it's
funny
okay
because you have about 8 billion hours played on Binding of Isaac. Like, the...
Well, it got reset.
The creator should be hitting you up, asking you questions on what exactly
people
is going on.
Put in a lot more time than me. But my time got... So I'm on like 120 hours right now. I had originally before this had like another 150 hours, and then it got erased by my girlfriend. Maybe that's why she plays so much. She wants to make up for all that shit. But anyway, so we went to this place called the Chest. So this is the actual final last boss that I didn't even know existed.
Got after the last you boss. Kill yourself, right? Because Isaac is
You have to kill Isaac, and then you go to the chest. But yeah, there's special parameters. It doesn't matter. But anyway, I got to the last guy, lost, whatever. And then the very next game, I fucking got to him again and beat him.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe that I met all the parameters. And now it's perfect because the Afterbirth comes out on the 20th. And I don't feel like I should play this again until it does.
But you will.
I don't know.
Okay. Anything else going on this week?
Do you guys want to answer this question yet? We've done it so many times, but maybe every few.
Sure.
Every 30.
Well, Flying Hawaiian, I feel like, is a newer listener, so maybe he hasn't listened.
I've always brought it up. Like, our super fans kind of cycle in and out. Flying Hawaiian seems to be one of our newest super fans. And so he wanted to know how did we start and why did we start.
The
Bob,
podcast?
Do you want to take it? Yeah, the podcast.
Okay. Bob.
Let's see.
I started because my dad was horny one night.
Yeah. One night.
We started this, in October or November of 2013. The PC Gamer podcast, Emilio and I had listened to it a lot, and they had stopped doing the podcast regularly. And that was really the only PC gaming podcast out there. And so we just had the idea of, like, well, you know, if they're not if they don't continually do it, you know, we should just make our own. I mean, we could do this, right? And then the answer to that was no, but we did it anyway.
Emphatically no. Yeah. But wait, I got a question.
Yeah.
I know why Emilio listens to podcasts, because he had a car that was so shitty it didn't have a radio. And let's be honest, the music these days is so shitty that you don't want to listen to the radio. So he was listening to podcasts. How about you? Why were you listening to the PC Gamer podcast?
I didn't listen to podcasts for the longest time. Emilio would talk to me a lot about the PC Gamer podcast, and it just, like, he would always know about these games that were coming out and all this stuff that I didn't know. And then finally I started listening to it and got hooked right away. I mean, podcasts are great, and there's still such a large number of people that don't listen to podcasts and or don't even know what it is. And I always tell people, like, whatever it is that you're into, whatever your interest is, you know, there's a podcast about it, and it's just people who know what the hell they're talking about having a really good conversation about that subject. I mean, there's no reason to not listen to podcasts.
But we don't know what we're talking about.
It's insane.
Oh, we kind of do. I mean, we're getting there.
we're getting there.
All right.
Well, we can at least talk about our feelings about stuff, even if we're wrong.
And then, so, Flying Hawaiian, to finish up this thing, them two started. They did a couple of episodes. How many did you guys do, just the two of you guys?
I want to say like 6 months.
No, it wasn't 6 months. I mean, Chad came in, I think, around January. And our first episode was beginning of December. So it was about 2 months, maybe three tops.
Yeah, Chad called me on the phone, which is weird because we're roommates. And we're in the same house. And he's like, hey, man, I want to be on the podcast. I immediately hung up and called Bobby.
That's not at all how
it was.
I came on as a special guest one time. And then I was like Rob Lowe in Parks and Rec. I was so good that they decided to keep me on the rest of the season.
Actually, I tried to bring him on with a non-speaking role. Remember that?
Yeah.
You were trying to do hand gestures? Because I want a producer so bad, because all the best podcasts have producers. So I just try to put him in a producer point. And then, and then for a while.
And I can't keep my mouth shut, so of course I was going to start talking.
And for a while, we had Geyser, which, I mean, that was we put out some really good content then, because he was our producer and our video editor, and we put out some really good stuff. You could check our YouTube channel for that old stuff. It might be looking cool for, if you're wondering what we look like, that, you know, that'll do it. Mm-hmm. That must be 20 pounds ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, now it's just fun, so let's just keep doing it.
Well, you know, that's an appropriate question, because next week is actually going to be our 100th episode.
Is it?
I don't know. The numbers are all screwed up.
We got to do something special.
Strippers, right?
Yeah. In episode strippers?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do the podcast while some girl is trying to do lap dances?
We'll just describe it.
Yeah, dressed as, like, League of Legends heroes.
I was going to go with Link.
Wait, strippers don't have clothes.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So let's get into the actual news.
Okay.
There's a Half-Life.txt file in the new Dota update of this week. And not only that, but there's two other lines of script. And it seems to be, one of them seems to be how to control turrets. And the other two were just like scripting of like little events. Things that would definitely go in a video game, but probably not Dota 2. And they were titled in the HL3 text. So, conspiracy theory, all that stuff. Like, I'm tired
of
talking about it,
too. They're just fucking trolling us.
Yeah, it feels like a troll to me.
I don't know. I feel like we're going to be old and gray, still doing this podcast, of course. And we're going to be talking about shit like this. Like, oh, I hear Half-Life 3 is going to come out. Now you hear this new little tidbit.
Yeah.
This new little hot lead.
Yeah.
You know? We're seriously going to be like 55 still talking about this shit. Like, at what point do we finally give up on Half-Life 3?
I have no interest in playing
for me, that was like
3
years ago.
But then it's going to be announced at some point.
No. Is it? No, it's not.
Is it? You think Valve really cares about releasing video games?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I know.
They're like Captain Sparkles in their fucking ivory $4.5 million tower.
I know there's whispers here and there all the time, but I feel like there's more whispers in the last month than usual. So, you know, if they don't announce it by the year's end, it would have been a no for me. Again, they're much smarter than me, but make Half-Life 3 a Vive exclusive. and you'll sell so many more.
Well, they came out right and said that they weren't going to do that without saying anything else.
That's about what Half-Life I'm saying, 3. Though. Yeah. Like, as a company, if they put me in charge, they'd go in there right away. But that's the first thing that I would say.
Do they even have a development team anymore?
Yeah, there's somebody
there. Who knows the way they operate. But the thing is, the game's been idealized so much that there's no way it could ever live up to the hype.
Yeah.
Even if it did come out. You know, as soon as we first saw the first screenshot, people would be like, doesn't look that good. You know, like Phantom Pain looks better than that. You know, I don't know.
Some things have lived up to the hype. Not much, but it does happen.
After a 10-year, 11-year
Yeah, but you're like the biggest fanboy ever. Like, you love everything.
Still on that hype train.
All right, what else we got?
Metal Gear Solid 5 offers in-game insurance for real-life money. How does that work?
I didn't read the whole fucking article. I read the headline. I will say, I just read the headline. But yeah, generally, you can just pay a fee every month to make sure that your shit doesn't get stolen online.
So, wait, who's going to steal this? Is like base building, I believe.
It's base building.
And you can take
Mighty over. Quest for Epic Loot.
Yeah. MGS5 has ways where you can raid other people's. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I hear,
so you can pay to protect your stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Tricky, huh?
I mean, if there's that small segment that says, yes, I'm going to do that, then I'm okay with people doing this. You know? Like, they're going to get their money. I want game developers to get the money that they can do so they can make another game. So I'm okay with this,
I think. I would like it if... I don't know how I feel about this. This is kind of a tricky one. But if that insurance shows up as, like, super highly trained snipers that don't miss and stuff, and like maybe a dragon.
Just headshot.
You can buy a dragon for $50 a month, an invincible dragon.
Okay.
Right? That can see through walls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. All right. What else we got?
The HoloLens is going to cost $3,000 for the developer kit. Yeah, I'm not paying that.
Well, it's for the dev kit, you know, developer. But
you can buy a dev kit of a
Oculus.
Oculus for like under $300 or about $300. So, that's just Microsoft, right? I put it up there because that's Microsoft. It's like you want devs to develop so that you'll have shit for your product.
Yeah, but
meanwhile, you're gonna fucking gouge them.
That's not.
I don't know if it's gouging.
$3,000 for a dev kit is not gouging. Like, if you're talking,
you're not gonna get in physics.
People. True, but if you're talking like physics engines or these other. If you're console developer kits, console developer kits are $5,000 to $6,000 just to get the console developer kit.
And what's that mean? That's an early build of the console?
No, it's a console kit that you can plug into a PC and develop code for. But they, like, this isn't $3,000 for a developer is not a lot of money. And if you're talking about an indie developer, then why are you developing for the HoloLens? I don't really see this as a big issue.
Yeah, you're right. I think this is going to have a lot more business applications and a lot more.
You know, it makes sense when you put it in that perspective. I think a lot of people are going to see this the way we saw it, though, and just say, well, the HoloLens is $3,000. The Oculus is $300. I mean, what the fuck? But no, you're right. If it costs that much for a dev kit for a video game system, then that's normal.
But I say take a loss when you're giving it to devs, though, because they're going to make you money.
What you don't know is they probably have agreements that if you greenlight through their Microsoft greenlight system, they probably will give indie developers the HoloLens kits for free. Mm. Like, there's a lot of ways to get around systems like this. But this is like, Ubisoft, you want to get some HoloLens dev kits? Yeah, they're going to be $3,000 each.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way to protect their investment.
No, I can get
because
it.
These things, these dev kits can run any code. These are basically systems that are already jailbroken or whatever the equivalent is. You can play anything on these things. Mm-hmm. So they need to protect them from that sort of system.
Cool. What do you got on Broforce?
Oh, it's just coming out. It's finally coming out on the 15th. We've talked about Broforce a lot. It's one of we love this game. It's a great multiplayer game, couch co-op game. But it's actually going live. But we've been playing this for a year now, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's good, you know. It's a little buggy after you beat the game. It gets really buggy, actually. There's an island that has random maps on it. It's really weird. I didn't even find it. Clown Lotion found it, and he showed it to me. But I think it randomly pulls from the user-generated pool, and then you just randomly go into it. But it's really buggy. And, yeah, the professional was put in there. That's after the professional.
Leon.
Yeah. And there might be one more that I haven't played. But, yeah, the more bros, the better. It's a, you know, bro tip. There's... No? Nobody on that? Pro tip?
You
should have had something. Shit.
You don't listen to Bro Science. You don't watch Bro Science, no. But he has bro tips in Bro Science.
Gotcha. So anyway, everything else is good for them. We have a 2-hour video of us being drunk playing this, but Bobby will not put it online.
Yeah. What's up, Bobby?
It might have something to do with me saying some racist shit in there. I don't know.
Bobby
won't put it online.
The reason I bring this up is...
Please, if you want to... I think it's really funny. Everybody that's seen it thinks it's really funny. It's just super long. So bother Bobby. Tell him to put it online. Yeah. He's got it.
Yeah.
HD comedy.
Yeah. The reason I bring up Broforce is because I feel like early access goes two ways. Like they put it out too early. You try to play it, it's shit, and then you're turned off on the game. Or you play the game and it feels like a polished, done game, and you're wondering why it's early access. And then you've already played the game and now you're over it. And so when it comes out live, you don't give a shit because you've already played the game, basically. Yeah. Like Broforce, I throw in the same grouping as Darkest Dungeon. Like, I've already played the game. I feel like I've played the game already. If it's announced going live, I don't give a shit because I feel like I've already played it. Mm-hmm. Versus like Stomping Land or what some of these other early access games that I feel
the
like.
The difference there is that Broforce I've beat several times, and Darkest Dungeon I've never beat. I don't think you can beat it yet, right? You guys, right?
So. You can complete all the quests in there.
Well, okay, so you can complete all the levels here, but it's not done.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there'll be an ending, at least.
So you
a final boss.
You think there's going to be, when it switches live, there's going to be some extra thing that you haven't seen yet?
Oh, for sure. A final boss? Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I want to see, when this comes out, I want you to play and see if there's some extra thing.
Because right now it's so...
I think it comes out on the 15th.
On September 15th? Or October?
Yeah, I think it comes out on October 15th.
Yeah, I saw the advertisement on Steam. I'm glad they're finally getting around to it, though. I mean, it's usually a noticeable difference when a game actually comes out versus when it's been in early access for a while. Like, there is something to warrant that 1.0 version.
Really? Do you think people hold things back just for that 1.0?
I don't think they're holding it back, but I think there is going to be a difference between a version, or like an alpha or a beta, and the version 1.0. I mean, I think that means something. You know, Prison Architect is another game that recently came out with their version after being in early access for a really long time. That was one of the original games that, when Steam first started doing early access 2 years ago, that and like Kerbal Space Program were some of the first early access games, and that finally came out officially and came out of early access.
The only I've never been excited about that game except for until I heard that you can
name your guy.
You can switch the roles now of Prison Architect, and you could do escape mode, which turns it more into like a puzzle game, I guess. So it's either a base build or like a sim, a jail sim, or a puzzle solving like. Yeah, which sounds pretty cool.
That is cool.
Have you tried that, Bobby?
No, I haven't played it since it actually came out. I've spent a good amount of time on that when it was in early access, though.
Do we got to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty soon.
Cool. I think somebody's looking uncomfortable.
I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. One last thing I want to leave everybody with. If you enjoy the podcast, find somebody on your Steam profile or your Steam friends list. And just ask them if they've listened to us. If they haven't, let them know about it. Maybe we can grow our fan base that way. Or if you have any suggestions on how to get more listeners, that would be great. We've kind of leveled off recently. So any kind of spike would be fantastic.
Tell them about your stream.
I stream from 10
on Twitch.
I stream on Twitch 10 to 12 Monday, Tuesday through Saturday.
On Pacific.
Pacific Standard Time. Yeah. Yep.
And the stream, the Twitch name is?
DL Gaming, DOTnet. DLGaming.net. Yep. Dot is spelled out.
And you can find all our stuff at DLGaming.net. That's our website. You can get to our Twitter, YouTube, our Steam group, all that. Friend us on Steam.
Yeah, hit us up. Say hi. Send us a question. We like answering listener questions.
And I guess I'll do scales on this one. T-I-T-T-I-T. Oh, wait. I spelled that wrong.
How drunk are you, dude?
Titties.